And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world.
Here in the United States, half of all the marriages end in divorce. And that's just for the first marriages. The divorce rate for second marriages is even higher. So many people ask, should I even bother trying again with the chance of success even less than it was the first time? On today's episode, I want to welcome back my amazing friend Janelle, and she's the author of the book, You Are Your Own Lighthouse, and that's what we discussed on her last appearance. Today, we're going to discuss life after divorce. Janelle, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Tony, for having me. I appreciate it.
This is an interesting topic. We have just passed through the month of February as we record this, and Valentine's Day, and everyone is doing that whole thing. So now we're kind of into spring coming, and everyone wants to start new. So there are people out there that are divorced, and they're wondering, what's the next step? What do I do? You know, I've been married for all these years. You and I both experienced this in our life, right? I was married for quite a while, and when all of a sudden you're single, there's certain feelings that you have to deal with. So what do you think is the first thing that somebody needs to get control of when they realize, oh no, now I'm one of those divorced people. I'm that statistic. What do I do next?
Well, each person is different. It depends on how long you were married and if you wanted the divorce or if you didn't, because it just hits you differently. You're still going to have the emotions that you're going to have to go through. I would say go ahead and take care of yourself and go through the emotions that come up and give yourself that time to heal. Give yourself that time to be single for a while. In fact, I created a course called I'm Divorced, Now What? And in it, one of the sessions is the art of being single. And it really is kind of an art. And you've got to kind of understand what it's like. What I have found is a lot of times the women I've talked to and that I know, they've been married or with family more, you know, not by themselves more than they have been by themselves. And so this is kind of a new territory. And just like with anything else that you're out there trying to learn, you need to just try it out, try out different things and see what works for you. What works for one person may not work for another. So get out there and find out what it is that you need, because it may be that you need that time to heal. Maybe you've already been detached from that relationship for so long that you've already kind of done the healing. You just finally made it official. Because I know somebody who they were separated for so long that she'd already done the healing. So when they actually got divorced, it was just that piece of paper saying, okay, we're officially done in the eyes of the government. But just going out and trying new things, whatever, and seeing what you want out of life and exploring different things.
I think it's a good time to explore yourself. Because a lot of times when we are in a marriage, and this is something that happens to all of us, we become, our identity becomes this married person and this couple. And sometimes we lose ourselves in that. We lose ourselves in the relationship. And not that that's a bad thing, but we need to become our individuals. And divorce can be an opportunity to get to know who you really are again. And you have to explore the good and the bad, right? We all have our good points and we all have our bad points. So it's a good time maybe to sit down, write down on a blank sheet of paper and anything that comes to mind about who you are as a person. And again, the good and the bad. And then maybe you can sort those things out and learn to grow from that. The other thing that I found was you get used to certain things. For example, sleeping with someone in the same room. You're laying in bed every night. You've got this person next to you, and you wake up in the middle of the night and there's someone there. And when you get divorced or separated or any of that, now there you are and you're by yourself. And in the beginning, that can be difficult. But Janelle, what I found happened is after a few years went by, now I kind of like that. You know, you get to like the fact that, hey, if I want to get up in the middle of the night, turn the light on, read a book or do something, I don't have to worry about waking up the person next to me. So everything is really in perspective, don't you think?
Yes, it really is. And I put that in there too, is you can sleep wherever you want. You can take up the whole bed. That's what I did. I took up, you know, I would sleep in the middle of the bed. And I think I did this probably right after I first got separated from my husband. I would put stuff on the other side of the bed, you know, kind of almost like a shelf, like laptop or whatever. I didn't do it for very long, but that's what some people do is okay, this is where the remotes go. My phone goes, you know, all this stuff. It almost is like a really long nightstand. So it really is about your perspective and how you look at things. Like for me, you don't have to ask anybody what you want for dinner. You can make whatever you want. You know, you can make that decision. You can say, you don't have to go, where are we going to go out to eat? You can just say, hey, I'm going to pick up, I really want Thai food. I'm going to go pick up some Thai food and bring it home tonight. If you don't feel like cooking, you know, or if you want to cook, you want to, like, I'm batch cooking right now. So I'm making up some lasagna, some vegetable lasagna, and it'll be in the freezer. So I can just say, oh, I'm going to have this later on. So you get and you can even to up and leave. I mean, unless you have kids, you know, you can say, hey, I feel like running to the store and getting these items or going out. I'm in Tacoma and I'm not far from the ocean. I can say, you know what? I'm just going to take off and go to the ocean for the day. You have that luxury where you don't have to run it by somebody. It has its benefits because then you're doing it. But it's the other thing you need to learn is to be alone. Because that's the other really difficult thing I'm finding is people do not know how to be alone. And when you learn to be alone, it is a true gift because you learn who you are. You learn what you enjoy. You learn that you are okay. You don't have to have that other person. And one of the things it seems to be is eating alone, going out to a restaurant and eating alone. And I was fortunate, for those who didn't hear the first podcast, I was married to a military man for 24 years. So I kind of already had some of these experiences. I've slept alone, you know, in a bed multiple times, you know, throughout our marriage. I would have to run dinner by my girls, but, you know, for the most part, I could just say, this is what I'm making. But I also would from time to time eat by myself. And it was something you have to get adjusted to. You have to realize people aren't just sitting there looking at you, judging you. They have their own life that they're living. They have their own things that are going on. The only time I felt like I was actually judged, I was at Panera Bread and I was in a big booth. There was like hardly anybody there when I got there, but I was in this big booth and I was working at the same time. And it was just me. And it was like for a family of four came in and they're like looking around, all the booths were taken. And I'm like, it's the only time I felt judged. Being in there by myself, I'm like, I'm going to just take a booth because I can.
I think part of that too is the identity shift. You were identifying, right, as a married person. You were identifying as a certain, you had certain characteristics. And now all of a sudden, that identity has changed. You're now a newly single person, a divorced person. And sometimes even the word divorce, people associate with a failure in their life. And I always say there's no failure in life. There are only lessons learned. So if you can look back at your previous marital situation and say, what lessons can I learn from that? You know, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? And a lot of times in divorce, we tend to want to always blame the other person because it can't be our fault because we're perfect, right? So we want to blame the other person. But I think part of getting through the healing process was to start taking radical responsibility for some of the things that you did that maybe weren't right and take this opportunity, again, not a failure, a lesson, take the opportunity to learn the lessons of how if you ever wanted to try it again, how you could make that be a success. You know, what things in you can you change? Because I don't care how perfect we are, Janelle, we can always improve. We can always improve in certain areas of our life. So I think that's part of it. And then the other thing that is super important, and we talked a little bit about this on our first episode. And if you haven't listened to that, it's called You Are Your Own Lighthouse, which is the name of Janelle's book. Go back and listen to that, because we talked a lot about different things like forgiveness. And I think you have to forgive two people for the divorce. You have to forgive yourself first, and then you have to forgive the other person. Because if you don't forgive, and if you hold this grudge against this person, then you will never heal. And I don't care how bad they were. They may have been a serial cheater, and you found out about it. They may even have been one of these people. You hear these stories about these guys that are married to like four different women in different parts of the world. And I always wonder, how did they keep that charade up? But you may have been a victim of something. You may have even been a victim from abuse, but you still have to step back and say, I forgive this person, because they don't feel the anger that you have toward them. It doesn't, especially if you have kids. You have to really work that out. But forgiving the other person, but then forgiving yourself for whatever you did wrong in the process. And that's the first step toward healing.
Yeah, that's so true. There's a few things I want to touch on with that. Starting with the beginning, the label that you put on yourself. I just was listening to this gentleman yesterday, and he was putting on this seminar. And he asked this lady who came in, are you here with anybody? She goes, no, I'm divorced. And he goes, well, how long have you been single? And she says, well, I've been divorced for 2 years. And what he was trying to do is show her. And he goes, after the seminar, she realized, if you put that label, I'm divorced versus I'm single, there's a different feeling. Just even thinking about that or saying it, there's a huge difference, because there's such a weight when it comes to saying I'm divorced versus I'm single. You can still be divorced and you're single too. So, but you can just put that divorce part aside. The other thing that I want to touch on, and I don't know if you saw this, Tony, yesterday morning, the handle to my toilet snapped and broke. So I had to go out and I fixed it. And I contribute my ex-husband. I like, even, it was about a year ago, my heater blower went out in my car. I changed it myself. I went and bought the part from AutoZone, and I came back and I changed it myself. And I can do that because of my husband. He showed me the tools and helped me understand how things work mechanically, because he used to work on airplanes. So, and that was his thing. So he was able to show me how to do things. And my dad was not that way. So I never learned that from my dad. You got to find those things. There's a reason why you married that person. So you got to look at the good. Maybe they gave you those children. There's got to be some good things in there. And you got to look at those good things and appreciate them for those good things, because they did bring you happiness and joy for you to get to that point of getting married. At least I would hope so. And then the forgiveness part. You really do need to look at that forgiveness. Forgiveness it's for you. A lot of people, this took me a while to understand. It's for you to release. What is it that saying, the with forgiveness, when you're holding on to that anger, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what that holding on to that anger and resentment and frustration is doing to you. It's basically poisoning you and doing absolutely nothing to them. When you take the time to release that and let it go, it's freeing is what it is. It helps you. And it's beautiful to be able to do that. I was able to be around my ex-husband on New Year's Eve. My youngest daughter got married. He was there. I was there. And because I had done the work, I wasn't angry with him. I was able to have conversations. I don't think because he really hasn't done the work, because he doesn't do this stuff, but it was almost like he didn't want to talk to me, but I was the one that would initiate the conversation. Like, it was no big deal. It was like, okay, you're just another person now. It was like, and that's what it will get to. And this is something, especially if you're freshly divorced, even the first year or two, you don't realize this, but it's really a neat thing. It's almost like it's a whole other life.
Yeah.
You're like, did I actually live that? I mean, and I've gotten to the point, even my childhood, I've done so much work that I'm like, was that my childhood? Was that really me? Did I really go through this? Because I have done the work. And when you do that work on healing and forgiving, it helps create a much better life for you.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I'm glad you touched on that as well, because the other thing that people tend to do is they rely on other people for their healing instead of relying on themselves. And the example of that would be the people who go from one relationship to another, to another, to another, because they feel that they are not a completed person unless they're in a relationship. And that's something that we really need to deal with as human beings. We have to realize that whether we have someone with us or not, we are still a complete person. And we still have a purpose in life. And I think that's part of it, is knowing that every single person, I believe, is made for a purpose. Sometimes it's not just one purpose. We have multiple things that we need to do in life. When we get tied down to the fact that our identity is based upon whether we're with someone or not, you know, it all goes down to that crazy Jerry Maguire thing that I just can't stand. And that's when Tom Cruise went in to Renee Zellweger in that big scene, and everyone says how romantic it was, and he bursts in and all her friends are around, and he says, "You complete me," and I just want to smack him upside the head, because no, two people don't complete each other, they complement each other. You're already a completed person, and if you are not, it's time to work on that part. It's time to work on yourself. Use that time first before you go back out there, you know, and start dating and start trying to find maybe another person. If that's what you want to do, figure out who you are, heal yourself, and realize that you're a completed person. You don't need another person to make you happy. That's the other thing. That's when we're depending on the other person to make you, when you're depending on someone else to make you happy, you'll never be happy, because they're always going to let you down. And I think that's something that a lot of married couples fall into, right? They depend on the husband or the wife. Well, it's their job. That they're my spouse. They're supposed to make me happy. No, they're supposed to be a helpmate to you, but your job is to be happy. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, it makes perfect sense. A lot of people, that's what they do. I've seen it where they go from one relationship into another, and they don't take that time. And I happen to be one of those too. It wasn't intentional. I said I was going to take a couple of years to heal, and I manifested this guy. I didn't know that at the time, but he showed up in my life as I was separated. He was separated, and we just started talking, and we were friends for quite a while. And we got to the point where, like, we really like each other. So we started dating. We dated about a year. I went in there knowing what I needed to do, that I, you know, that I was healing while I was in the relationship. He was not that way. And I thought he was. The relationship just basically broke down. And I see now that it was for the better.
That's the whole hindsight thing, right? You know, we can look back on something and say, oh, that happened, that was for the better. But sometimes when we're right in the middle of it, we don't see that. So maybe we have to learn to take a deep breath and take a step back and analyze it from a different perspective.
Well, the other thing is sometimes when we go to, you know, when we get out of that relationship, this was me, and I've found myself adjusting because I've done so much healing. But I used to go, whenever I was in pain, I would go to somebody, going, one of my friends, help me, like, get this out. Like, it was almost like if I'm verbal about it and I give it to somebody else, it would come out and it would be gone. Where in reality, like, if for a coach, they can help you get through that. As you know, Tony, they can help you get to that next level. But they also are going to be the one that gets you to the point where you can do it yourself. I was just telling my friend yesterday, I said, there was something that happened. I said, I almost sent you a message and let you know. I said, but no, I said, I'm going to handle this myself. I journaled about it. I sat there with myself and tried to understand. It was a dream that I was like, what is this? What's going on? So I journaled about it. But on the flip side, I also saw this same friend a few days prior. she was going through a difficult time. She found something had came up in our conversation, and she's like, I'm just going to journal on it. Well, our mutual friend coached her through, and she's like, oh my goodness, thank you so much. She goes, I could have done it, but it would have taken me so much longer. She did it in like 30 minutes and got her from where she was at to where she wanted to. Basically, she felt lighter even the next day. She goes, I felt so much better afterwards because of that, because she was able to go, oh, this is what's been going on, and release it. So that's where having that coach, because this is the other thing I mentioned in my course, is a lot of times we lean on our friends and our family members when we are going through a divorce or a difficult time, and they're not always the best person to help us through that. What I find is they have their own perception, and they may not steer you in the right direction. They may not have the tools to help you, or they may get to the point where they help you the first couple times, and by the third or fourth time, they're like, I'm done. You know, like, no more. You know, they're like, I don't want to hear anymore. And they won't answer your calls, or they just won't listen to you. That's where getting that coach in there. That's what you pay them basically like a therapist. Those are my two things. I said, for me to get through what I went through therapy and a coach, but the coach is the one that really got me through that pain and to see my future completely different.
And that's part of the whole coaching process, really, is letting the person know that they have the power to do what they need to do. And as a coach, we're just there to guide them and provide them with the tools to get through that. So I want to shift gears a little bit. When someone is faced with this divorce situation, and you know, there's people listening right now, some people have been divorced for a long time. Maybe some have been just fresh divorced there, or maybe some are in the process of going through that. So I want to focus on the five stages of grief, because through a divorce, we go through those five stages. We have the denial first, right? Well, this isn't happening to me. And I think I went through that. Then there's anger, right? After we go through the denial process, now we get angry, usually at the other person. Sometimes we get angry at ourselves too, but there's that whole anger process. Once we pass that, then there's bargaining. And for me, bargaining was, well, let's see if we can work this out. Let's see if we can get this back together. Or we're bargaining, if I do this, then will this happen? Will we bargain with ourselves? Then that can shift into the depression part of it, where we're really, really depressed. And I can speak for myself in that too. When I went through it, I went through this period where I couldn't focus. I couldn't focus at work because I was just feeling so down, because again, I felt that I had failed. Finally, you shift into acceptance. But here's the thing, Janelle, and what do you think of this? I believe make sure that you actually do go through these stages and don't try to rush that process. You know, when you're angry, take the time to be angry, deal with it. When you go through that depression period, take that time. You don't try to rush yourself out of it, because if you don't, the healing won't be as complete in the end. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. So with my situation, we had separated a few years prior, and then we got back together. Basically, I knew this was my last time at even working at this. And I told him that. I said, this is my last time doing this, because I felt like I was working my ass off, excuse the language, but I worked my butt off in the marriage. I felt like he wasn't putting in the effort that he could have been and should have been. And I went through all of those stages when we were separated. So when we did finally divorce, I still had those, but they weren't as intense. And I took that time to feel like I was at work one day and I broke down twice. It was just all these emotions kept coming up. And I ended up breaking down twice at work, just crying and sobbing. And that's what I needed, to have that release. Allow yourself to cry. Allow yourself to feel those emotions. And here's the thing that I don't feel like it's said enough, that most people do not realize. You can be divorced for a few years, feel like you've gone through it, And then all of a sudden something happens and bam, you're hit again. So this happened to me over a year ago. It was probably about a year and a half ago or so. My daughter was pregnant and having our, it was my first grandchild, my granddaughter. And I was out with some friends and walking around this store and I saw this baby stuff and it just hit me that the dream I had of us being grandparents together was no more. And I started tearing up right there going, oh my gosh, it was one of those things you have these dreams that you think are going to happen and you believe are going to happen. And they may be things that you don't think about. So it might strike you when you least expect it. So yeah. Just because you feel like you've gone through all those stages, don't be surprised if they come back up periodically over the next few years. I like to believe there will get a point where I won't ever, and so far since that incident, I haven't had any other issues. So I'm hoping that will be the case.
That is very interesting because there are those experiences that, you know, we think about. We may have had these dreams and we've kind of put them aside because we haven't really thought about them. And then we're faced with those situations like you were when, you know, you saw the baby stuff and you started thinking about that. So yeah, don't let that throw you off. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. And I think that's something that we need to stress to anyone listening who's going through this process or no matter how far they're into it. Because you're divorced, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. And I think culture, we speak of the importance of staying married and being married and all this, but there's nothing wrong with going through a divorce. It doesn't mean that you're broken. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. And I think that's the stamina that we need to take away. Of course, for anyone, it's probably better if the couple can work things out. Of course, you know, it's better for the children. It's better for the family. I mean, it's difficult. Holidays, you know, that's the next thing I wanted to get into talking about was holidays get crazy because you're going to all these people's, you know, you're trying to, especially with the kids, they've got to go to see their dad's parent, you know, there's all these connections and we have to learn how to share holidays. And there's all these things that divorce makes difficult. But the thing is, when we're there, we just have to learn how to look at the bigger picture and how can I make this situation into a way that everyone can grow and they can learn to enjoy those experiences again, like the holidays, like birthdays, like weddings, things like that. That's really important. The other thing we have to be careful for is cursing ourselves. What I mean by that is you remember all those old fairy tales where someone would get cursed. You know, the handsome prince would say something and the wicked witch would turn him into a frog. Well, we curse ourselves by the words that we say. And whenever we use those I am statements, and you started talking about this earlier, I am divorced, I am single. When you get your identity from these statements or say things like, I can't do that. Well, I'm not a person who is like this. Oh, I'm not a person who can start dating again. I'm not a person who can live by themselves. Well, by saying those words, you are actually cursing yourself. Start saying, I haven't been a person who has been able to live by themselves until now. And now I'm learning the tools to be able to do that. That gives you an opportunity to break free and to break those curses in your life. So I think that's the thing. Divorce isn't a curse. It can be an obstacle, but we can always, as one of our friends talks about, turning obstacles into opportunities.
I just did a video this morning. I created a video about what you're thinking. What thoughts are you even, a lot of us don't even pay attention. We have so many thoughts. It's like 50,000 thoughts a day or something. I don't even know the number, but we have so many thoughts. It's probably more with all the technology that we have going on, but we have all these thoughts that go on in our mind. And once we start paying attention to them and looking, what is it that's going on in my mind? What am I thinking? Do I believe this? Because a lot of times our beliefs come from our parents, our grandparents. And these beliefs are handed down generation to generation to generation. These beliefs may be from your friends. They may be from, they may be a belief that your ex-husband or spouse or, you know, wife, whoever it is, they may have said, this is my belief. And you just took on that belief. But then you stop and you go, wait a minute, is this really what I believe? Or is that just what they said and I took that belief on? It's the same with society. Society, especially news, they'll tell you this, you know, all this bad stuff is going on. But is it really? Have you stopped and looked around? Is there anything good going on? We don't hear about the good news. So stop and pay attention to those thoughts and what you're listening to. Even the, on social media, who are you listening to? I have it. Somebody was like, oh, there's so much negativity on Facebook. And I'm like, really? I have a couple of people who do put out some negative stuff. I know who they are. I just keep scrolling. Most of my stuff, the majority, like probably 98% of my stuff is all things that feed me in a positive way. And I set it up that way. I took off any of the news. So I don't, and I don't even watch news anymore. I stopped watching it because all they're going to do is feed me negativity and it just frustration. And do I want that in my body? No, I want to be able to feel good. I want to have the positivity in my life. To do that, I need to make sure I'm listening and paying attention to what I'm listening to, who I'm listening to, because it could be your friends. It can be your family, which is a difficult one when you're, when it's your family and you're around them a lot. That's really, really difficult to keep that positive outlook if you're surrounded by negativity.
Absolutely. I look at it like our computers, for example. We have these antivirus and firewalls and all this protection because we don't want to let the bad things in. But why don't we do that in our own life, right? We need to start taking control of what is getting inputted into us. And I love how you don't watch the news and that kind of thing. Face it, it's all going to be negativity. Everything is out there. And really, we wouldn't be talking right now, Janelle, because I wouldn't have this podcast if it wasn't for all the negativity that was out there in 2020. And it was so bad that even if you tried to tune it out, it was very hard to, because people were arguing like crazy on social media. And that was when I just said, we need more positive content in the world. And that's what got me to launch this podcast. But at the same time, we need to recognize that when something is getting to us or making us feel bad or letting us go down a negative path, we need to step back and take control of that. And our thoughts and our emotions are things that we can control. You know, I believe that we are all souls. We all have a soul, and our soul is what controls us. We have three parts. We have the physical, right, which is our bodies, and we can control our physical. I can lift my hand up and down, and I don't even have to think about it. You know, I don't have to mentally say, hand lift up, hand lift down. No, you just do that automatically. We can control our thoughts as well. If we start thinking about something, we can say, wait a minute, I don't want to think about that right now. Let me stop and think about something else. And even someone like me, who I call myself ADD boy, you know, I can still take control of my thoughts. We can also do the same thing with our emotions. And we need to learn to take control of those emotions. When we start feeling sad, upset, angry, whatever it is, let that feeling go through us. Don't try to squelch it, but let it go through. But what happens is, when we feel bad about something, then we start thinking, why am I feeling bad? And then our thoughts start going on, why am I feeling bad? And then you keep telling yourself, well, you're feeling bad because, you, like, let's use this divorce as an example. I'm by myself. I'll never find somebody. I'll never find the right person. I don't like living by myself. And all my friends are married. And you start thinking all these negative thoughts, and now you start feeling worse. So stop. Start controlling those thoughts. Don't go into those spirals. And I know some people are saying, well, Tony, it's easy for you to say, Janelle, it's easy for you, but, you know, I'm really going through this. Try to think about positivity. And that's why I say start every day in gratitude. Three things that you're grateful for every day. When you start going down a negative path, just stop and say, wait a minute. All right, I'm feeling these feelings, but what am I grateful for in this moment? And if you start changing that focus, you'll be amazed at how your life will change. Anything else that you want to get into today on this? What I just said, or
a
just
couple of things, but
life after divorce.
So when you were saying that about turning off your thoughts and the news, the first thing that came into my mind was September 11th. We all know where we were September 11th, but what were you doing the days after September 11th? Were you glued to the TV and the news?
Yep.
How did you feel? And I tell you what, we were in Spain at the time and we were like, we didn't know what was going to happen. So, because when you go, there's different levels, and the level we were in, we were supposed to be flown back to the States, but there's no flights. And so there was like pure panic going on inside of me. And we probably watched the news for about 3 or 4 days. But you know what? It got to the point we realized we're watching the same thing over and over again. And we turned off the TV. We can do the same thing with our thoughts. And what a lot of people do not realize is what we think is what we draw into our life. This is like my new favorite thing to talk about is manifesting. And when you're thinking these negative thoughts, you're thinking these fearful thoughts, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get more of that. You're going to get more of the oh my God, you know, things that are going to scare you. If you start looking at that positive outlook and the positive stuff and what you can do and try, I mean, just because you didn't live by yourself before doesn't mean you can't now. It's something new. Test it out. See what it's like. Maybe you don't want to live in a great big house. Maybe you go, I'd rather live in an apartment so I can at least see some people from time to time. Find out what works for you, but make it a fun game. Maybe you want to live, I know a lady, she lives in a tiny home and absolutely loves it. I think she went from an apartment to a tiny home. That's what works for her because she didn't want to have all those neighbors, but she also didn't want a big house to take care of. Find ways to take that negative thinking of, I can't live by myself, and say, how can I live by myself? Start asking those questions. How can I do this? How can I make this a reality? How can I make this situation better? How can I look at this situation in a more positive light?
And instead of saying, I'm not a person who can deal with living alone, turn it into a question. How can I be a person who likes to live alone? And start focusing on that, because where focus goes, that's where our energy will always flow. And I think that's super, super important. So we can go through, you know, you and I have gone through this, these divorces, all right? And we are happy people. We are enjoying life. It's a different life, and it's different than it was when we were in our, like I like to call it, past life, but it's still a great life. We still have goals and dreams and desires that we're working on that are ahead of us. And whether another person is involved in that or not, you know, we'll see what happens. But we're always going to stay positive and look at those things to be thankful for in our life and to live a life of gratitude for the experiences and the lessons that we've learned. So before we close, anything else that you wanted to put out there for somebody who's listening, whether they're just going through that divorce now, or maybe it's been a few years and they're just frustrated at where their life is?
Sit with yourself. Take that time to sit with yourself. See what your dreams and aspirations are. See where it is you want to go in life. What is it that you want in your life? What do you want to do? What do you want to experience? Start writing that stuff out and write it out as if it's already happened. And start dreaming, make a vision board. We can have a whole other episode on manifesting, because I could go on for days with this. Create that life. Create the life that excites you. Go out and meet new people. Go out. There's Meetup. Get on Meetup and see there's all kinds of things that you can try out without actually having to like sign up for anything long term. I think it was because this was when I was injured, so it was a couple of years ago. And I thought this would be so much fun, where you could go out with the sailboats, and they would teach you how to put up the sails and everything. And there's a whole bunch of them, and so you could learn how to do this. I'm like, that would be so much fun, but because I had a foot injury, I couldn't do it. It can be just a coffee meetup. Try different things that you may never have tried before. Doing it just once and going, yeah, this isn't for me. At least you tried something new. hopefully you met somebody new and you did something outside of your box, because that is what's going to bring you that excitement and that thrill is the something new, doing something new.
Doing something new. Yeah, absolutely. Also, before we close, I just wanted to throw something else out there real quick, because when you were talking about meetups and things like that, there's all these dating apps out there and these dating sites and so forth. And you know, that was one thing. I jumped into some of that too. And I always said that dating apps are like a bowl of granola, because usually what's out there, it's usually fruits, nuts, or flakes. But all seriousness, I do know people that have met on those things and it's worked out for them. But I think for the most part, if you can try to avoid that and get into things that you're interested in, find out, for example, let's say you love animals. So volunteer at a rescue or a shelter. You'll meet people that have the same interests that you do. If you're into skiing, join a ski club, maybe take a yoga class. Guys, I will highly recommend going to a yoga class, because who's in yoga classes? Usually a lot of young single women. So you may be one of two or three guys in that class of 20 people. So do something that interests you, because then what's going to happen is you're going to meet other people. You put yourself in a situation, in situations where the things that you want will automatically show up in your life. So I think that's kind of where I'm getting at. So this has been really a great episode. I was going to ask you, Janelle, if people wanted to reach out to you and get a copy of your book or follow up with you, maybe have a conversation, how would they do that? But before you get into that, were there any other comments on what I just said?
Yeah, if you're trying to create a guy, or you want to bring that person in, because I did the dating apps too. I've done this twice now. First time I had no idea. The second time I did it half-heartedly and I still manifested this guy. But write down qualities you want in that person, in your significant other. Write them out and be detailed and look through that list. And then find out, like, do you want somebody who's likes to go skiing, like you said, Tony? Then you need to start skiing. Maybe you're not a skier, but you're like, oh, I want somebody who's a skier, or somebody who hikes, who likes to hike. Well, then maybe you need to join a hiking group. But whatever those qualities are, maybe you want somebody who likes to cook. Start taking a cooking class. You know, even if you know how to cook, there's got to be something, because there's so much to cooking that you can always have. There's always aspects of cooking that you can learn.
Absolutely. You know, I go through a process. You mentioned about getting the qualities that you want. I've had a couple of clients who, even though we're working on something else, like their business or a career change or just burnout in general, they'll make the comment, well, I always pick the wrong guy or girl or whatever. And, you know, I have an NLP process that I go through to cure people of picking the wrong person. Fixing your picker, I guess is what I call it. And part of that includes putting and knowing exactly what you want, not only in the person, but in the actual relationship itself, and recognizing the things that attracted you before and those mistakes that you've made, and learning how to kind of swap one thing with the other. It's a little bit of a process, like not too much to get into right now. But again, if people wanted to reach out to you, because I think your book would be a great tool for them to read, to learn that, you know, they can take control of their own life. And being your own lighthouse has a lot to do with that. And it was something that you wrote in the aftermath of a divorce. So I think that would be a great resource for them. And of course, if they wanted to talk to you, it would be great.
So my book is on Amazon. You Are Your Own Lighthouse. You can get a hold of me on Facebook, Janelle Otto Coaching. I also have a group called Guiding Women Into Their Greatness. Females, you can join. I'm not, it's for women, not for men, hence the name. But yeah, those are the ways to get a hold of me. Reach out to me.
Now, you've been on the podcast before, and I've asked you the signature question, what does being purposely positive mean to you? But I'm going to ask you a follow-up question to that. Why is knowing and focusing on purpose, why is that an important tool in getting through anything in life, including divorce?
when you find a purpose, it helps you. Like when you're going through through pain and difficulty, the best thing you can do is reach out and help somebody else that's also going through it, because it helps boost you up. And when you find those different things, like if you find that you really don't want to help other people, but you need to help yourself, and you find purpose, like you said, with animals, getting out there and doing that and finding a purpose gives you that extra boost to keep moving forward. And it helps bring joy into your life when you have that purpose. And it gives you a sense of being, a sense of basically a purpose, like you said.
This has been fun, Janelle, and I'm sure we will get back on and have another discussion sometime in the future. Maybe we'll get into some manifesting ideas.
That would be fantastic. I'd love that.
And you've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And you know, divorce can be what they call a wake-up call moment in your life. And when we have those wake-up call moments, it's time to make a change. I have a free resource you can download at Tony W. Coaching. It's a book called Strive to Thrive, a short ebook, and it'll help you go in the direction of a purposely positive life.